بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to a new episode of Old Lady's Favorite Muslim Lady. Well, this is Asma. Once more, I have the honor to be at your service in the coziest place for women. Well, and here with me, I have Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, really, for coming here. Well, it's always a pleasure to be here with you, a great honor to be with all these great ladies that are listening to us. We have heard that many times in the story of couples when they come to tell you about their problems, and they come to say that, I feel like I have been taken into this relationship just because I'm beautiful, just because I have a wealthy family, just because of the name of my father, just because of, you know, how the rest of the story goes.
Yeah.
There are many marriages that happen based on these stuffs, like the guy meets a girl, she's so beautiful, that's why he marries her. And then, you know, the reverse of the story could happen as well. Like a woman would marry a guy just because he's so wealthy, even though he does not have a good manner. So let's talk more on these things. Like there are many women in today's world who feel like they have been treated like a trophy wife, like they could be put there as a beautiful stuff and as a doll, like it's a dollhouse.
Yeah.
How do you see this?
It's not very long after the wedding dress is folded and the honeymoon is over that women usually feel they carry this deep emotional question within themselves, like, was I loved for my essence,
yeah,
or married for my essence, or was I chosen for what I brought to the table?
The reasons of my marriage.
Yeah. A woman may never say this out very loud, but she often wonders inside her that, did he marry me for my beauty? And at the same time, she has a concern, which time will fade away?
Mm-hmm.
Did he marry me for my job, which I could lose?
Exactly.
Did he marry me for my wealth, which really is not me? And was it for my soul, my faith, or all these questions,
mm-hmm,
right? So every woman needs to feel that she is seen, she is loved, and for especially who she truly is, not for the fleeting gifts she brought,
yeah,
on the table or that decorate her, like you said. She wants to be seen for the virtues she has. That's why she,
mm-hmm,
has those concerns, and it's okay to have those concerns. But these questions should not, dominate you.
Yes, it shouldn't be dominating me as a wife. But then there is this, you know, existential questions that I married out of love, and then now when I come into the real life, I see it differently. Like I feel I'm not loved for my true self. Now, when we come to this discussion, I guess we have to dig on the other side of the story.
Right.
What happened that I'm feeling like this?
What intention the person had is very important, because in Islam as well, our deeds, our actions are, and they are measured,
mm-hmm,
based on the intentions we have always. But we are no one to judge the intentions of others. It's like rather we are given...
Wouldn't it be clear from your acts and your words?
Yeah. So, for example, it's basically what a wife believes, like what she starts believing in. Whatever you start believing in, it will shape everything around,
mm-hmm,
you. For example, from the first days of marriage, if you begin to form the internal narrative that this story, that you start telling the story to yourself about why I was chosen, because of the foundation of how safe, loved, and worthy I feel in the relationship. For example, if she believes he married me for my job, she will fear always losing it. And
yes,
if she builds this narrative that he wants my status, she will always hide her vulnerability.
So what I'm saying is that I guess men should be educated on this as well and take this into consideration, that your actions after marriage should,
yeah,
not change, because then these things are going to lead to different conclusions and,
yeah,
different narratives,
yeah,
for the woman and the mind of the woman. In order to get to know more about this topic, we have to go for a break and then we come back.
Thank you.
unwanted after only some months after my marriage. I feel like he married me only because he wanted someone to take care of him. I think he married me because of my father's wealth and because of my job. All of these things are some common conclusions that many women, or many complaints that get in today's world, are just showing to us. So we talked about it, that it happens after marriage, that you might feel like unwanted, and maybe you would feel concerned about the reasons of your marriage. Was it right or wrong? Why did this happen to me? Why is he treating me like this? So we said that the man must be so concerned about his way of acting and treating the woman. But then let's talk more about this issue. That now that I have these narratives in my mind, how should I deal with them?
First of all, do not create a false narrative in your mind unnecessarily. If you're not opened up about it, do not unnecessarily create, because I said the way narratives you're going to create, what it's going to do with you. Maybe that's not correct.
Well, it's based on proofs, you know, based on actions and based on words. So if I see those proofs in front of me, how should I deal with it?
Again, I would say talking always very directly, but at the same time, being humble and kind is very important. Talk about it. Is it this? Like, we do have this example in our culture as well. They say, like, a hen that lays golden eggs. Mm-hmm. So sometimes women with that status, with that position, with that beauty, even if that is not the case, but they still say to their husbands that you did not marry a woman, you married a hen that lays the golden eggs, right? So that narrative, if you
already married a moneymaker.
Yes, if you already create that narrative within yourself, you're going to hurt yourself mentally, emotionally, psychologically. But here, men need to be a bit, you know, aware and educated.
Yeah, I guess we have to talk more about them.
Right.
And
for
about
example,
how they have to treat the women.
Yes. Even like, do not see the external achievement much, because true love is not just impressed by the external achievements. It's something that's moved by the presence. For example, see the way they care for your parents. See the way they're patient in terms of when they get overwhelmed. You know, see the efforts no one applauds, but they make efforts for you. So the thing is, they need to be seen, need to be heard, they themselves, not the achievements. It's usually when we prioritize achievements more, or when we focus on them more, even we value the person, but at the same time, if you're valuing the achievements of your wife more, then it's going to create those false narratives within her mind. So it's basically a man should create balance on seeing her worth than her external achievements or whatever she has, like as we said in the earlier, in the beginning of the episode, whatever she puts on the table, or like the trophy she see her as a trophy wife or something. Yes, that's all to be applauded. That's all to be appreciated. But more than that, see her worth, see the faith. Because Islam, the basic criteria in Islam to choose a spouse is faith.
Yeah, so this is another detail of our discussion that we're going to touch upon. I just wanted to bring this up, that we say that we shouldn't marry a woman for her wealth, beauty, or whatever. But then we have some suggestions, even in our narratives, that once you decide to go for marriage, try to go for girls who are coming from a decent family. Try to go for girls who are, you know, there is this compatibility between your family and their family. So
Islam provides us a huge criteria.
Let's go for a break, and then we'll come back to see if these things are paradoxical or not.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back. Well, this is the voice of the Muslim Lady. We're talking about the things that is your concern today. We're talking about the topic that might be pretty much prevailing nowadays, that women after marriage, they get to think about the reasons of their marriage. Am I loved for myself or not? So I said that we shouldn't marry based on these stuffs that are not our true souls and selves. But then in Islam, we have some recommendations, some suggestions for marriage. These things for sure are not paradoxical because our religion, the religion of Islam, is based on logics and whatever that is good for the human dignity. So how would you respond to this?
See, for example, in the very, you should, in order not to get problems after this, you have to look for the criteria before getting into marriage. For example, first criteria was faith, but at the same time, there were some other things like importance to the acts of worship. Look at the family background, look at the righteous deeds or the righteous friends the person has. The friendship, the friend circle a person has a huge impact on mm-hmm. us. Like they say, like to know a person, see the company he has. So
they would mirror each other.
Exactly. Appropriate dress, being modest, intelligence, understanding, contentment, halal livelihood.
Same goes for the family.
Yes. Like research the family background. We have that. And know their friends, examine their personality in the workspace and educational environment. Yes. Do not, for example, where you feel like I will always be a victim of inferiority complex,
exactly.
Do not get married there, because that way you're going to hurt yourself again mentally always.
Yeah, so, there's a gap economically in the two families, I guess these kind of marriages are going to be a little bit much more problematic.
Yeah, so always consult with trustworthy and knowledgeable individuals. Consultation is must in Islam, and also try to talk and discuss different topics so mm-hmm. that you get to know more. And parental experiences are always helpful. They're not always like only they'll give me advices. No.
Yeah.
Sometimes listen to those advices. They may have some very
key lesson. They're much more experienced.
Yeah, they may have very key lesson for you that you don't have, that you may not get as such.
Yeah. So the question was, based on Islamic criteria, we have to go for some specific sort of families, like the kind of families that have got this compatibility with our families.
Yeah.
And the way to justify these things in order not to get into a paradoxical conclusion was that all Islam is asking you to do is to search for the perfect soul that is going to be compatible with your own soul, that is going to match you the best. So this is, I guess, the entire conclusion. If I want to just sum it all up, I would put it this way, that in a marriage, we're marrying the souls, not marrying a trophy, not marrying a doll, not marrying a moneymaker. Try to have this in mind, that in marriage, we have the combination of two souls, of two human beings, and not just bank accounts, wealth, or some decorative dolls or anything like that.
There was a man who married a woman just because of her eyes were green. We also have a hadith like that. Do not marry on the appearances or
wealth.
Yeah, because if you see that, the same thing is going to haunt you.
It's
going to
be of no use for you.
Same thing is going to haunt you. Yeah. And the same thing happened with this person. So, but the basic thing is faith.
If you trade with marriage, then that trade is going to be at loss.
Yeah.
Do not do that ever. But if you marry a heart, if you marry a soul, trust me, these things are going to support you in the decision you make. So thank you, Sister Zainab, and thank you, dear ladies, who are listening to us. This is all for today's episode. I hope you have just enjoyed that. Until another session, wish you health, wealth, and happiness.
I know I'm waiting for something. Something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges.